Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Driving Me Crazy, coming to you live from Beechtree Studios near beautiful Pinehurst, North Carolina. This is the only show where a husband and wife drive, talk cars and life, and still love one another each day. Here's John and Laurie. Or is it Laurie and John? Oh, take it away, you crazy kids.
That's us, the crazy kids.
The crazy kids. Good morning, Hezzy, and good morning, listeners.
Good morning,
I hope everybody's feeling well and enjoying. We have beautiful weather here in Pinehurst, North Carolina. What about you, Hezzy? How is it in New York?
We're doing good here, except I heard that there's over a foot of rain in Florida. That's crazy.
Yes, yeah. I saw that. It really, I don't know that it was even forecast, but it's been a deluge.
Unbelievable. You know, I guess the world is changing.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, and I don't think
exactly.
We're going to stop it, by the way.
No, I don't think
I want to talk life. Can I talk life for a second?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Life is good.
That's right. Better than the alternative.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We opened the show with We're Live from Beechtree Studios, which we're not. That's a recording, of course. And Joyce
Reeling,
who is the one who does our introduction, are still friends of ours. They still live here. We haven't seen them in a while. But it's interesting, like in many shows. I don't remember whether you remember the Dick Van Dyke Show, but he always had the same opening. And then one time
Absolutely.
They changed it. Yeah, he would fall over the stool, and then one time he comes
yes.
in and he goes around the stool. But it was always this idea that you had the same introduction, and it made the show, you knew what you were going to be seeing. And so we've used that on this show, and we have a very good friend who runs Beechtree Studios, which is actually up, closer to
Carthage.
Carthage, yeah, near to Carthage, and out in the middle of nowhere. Great, beautiful recording studio, and I haven't seen him in a long time either. But it's just interesting. You come to sort of accept those things, and we haven't been doing a whole lot of shows because of the car industry, which I think you guys had a big talk about last week when I wasn't here. But the fact that the car industry is changing, and I saw that there was new legislation or new presidential order or something about the EPA and all these restrictions and so forth. And, you know, my feelings about that are somebody in the motor industry, the president of one of these big GMC, or you pick one, I don't care, but they need to stand up and say, this is ridiculous, and we're not going to do it. And what would happen is, then the government would get up in arms and they won't fund this, and they won't fund that. You know what? The American people will fund what the government won't fund if they believe that it's the right thing. And so if a car costs $1,000 more and it's either a hybrid or it's a rethought gasoline engine car that gets great mileage and it reduces the footprint, so on and so on, I think this idea that we're being forced to do things that we don't want to do is ridiculous. And it's just not the way that America was designed.
Well, you know what I don't understand? I agree with you. I don't understand, though, why we're promoting the electrical vehicle when there's no place to recharge.
Oh, I agree.
We don't have the outlets. So I don't understand what the whole issue is here.
Well, the other thing,
we're not going to change it.
The other thing we were looking up, of course, we have a hybrid this week, which is both gas and electric, and it's
yes.
really, truly, if you want to do something positive, this is currently, anyway, the best of both worlds. You know, it sort of recharges itself. You're not going to be stranded somewhere because you always have the gasoline engine to rely on. You get a lot more energy. We'll talk about that with the electric. You get a lot better mileage for the gas. Anyway, those kind of things. But the electric one, the new one, one of the new studies, and it said, oh, my gosh, this car will get, I don't know, pick a number, 360 miles on a full electric charge. And with the new charging things, you plug it in, and in 30 minutes, you can go from 5% to 85%. I don't care. 30 minutes? 30 minutes? Do you know how long it takes to fill up a car when you pull into a gas station? It takes 5 minutes. You know, you pull in, you get out, open the thing, pull in, fill the car up. Literally within 5 minutes, you are back on the road. And now they act like 30 minutes. Okay, you have 300 cars that need electrical charging. How many of these charging stations and how many of these places for people to plug in are you going to have? Because 30 cars waiting in line for 30 minutes is a long time. It is the poorest thought out idea built under the semblance of we are going to save the world, which we are not. The world has been changing since its creation, and we are not going to change those kinds of things. One volcano erupting is harder on the atmosphere than all the cars. It's unbelievable to me how people are duped into believing things that are not true.
Well, and it's not only the cart before the horse, Johnny, but it goes a lot deeper, and that is that the minerals needed for building these batteries came from where? Mostly Afghanistan. And where are these batteries being built? China.
Sure. Oh, China's more and more getting in control of all of the things, and they'll control what you get and what you don't get. It's so obvious to anybody who has some common sense. Which is what drives me nuts. Where is common sense in our approach to things anymore?
And in today's news, they said that China is in a very good position to come forward into, you know, more than they already are in United States banking because of the failure of the West Coast Bank.
Sure.
And so are we all going to be having Chinese as a second language one of these days? I mean, this is how bad it is. And as far as the car industry is concerned, they've had hurdles that we've seen them having to jump through. COVID, which changed the entire dynamics of an industry in the world. Then the chips, the microchips, where there was a lack of them, and where were they being manufactured?
China.
And then this whole bit about electric cars, which is being government sanctioned. I mean, the government wants it, and they're paying the automotive companies to build them. They're giving them good money to say, okay, you focus only on this. Well, how is that good for us when, as we've just discussed, there are no charging stations for under, you know, in any kind of consistent way coast to coast? And not only that, but the ones that you do find are largely, you know, take such a long time, days sometimes, where common sense doesn't exist anymore.
Especially not in politics.
Well, you know, if we were living in Luxembourg, I think it wouldn't be such a major problem because you don't have to go very far. You could probably walk from one end of the country to another. But this is America. Look how big it is. We can't even go from one state to the next without running out of power. And what are we going to do, charge up every 200 miles?
And that's true of most of Europe.
Find a place, and we don't even know where to go to find
it. Right, and that's true of most of Europe, what you just said. England, pick any of them. England England would fit inside of Idaho. They already, or Oregon. You know, the whole of England fits inside the state of Oregon.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm not, you know, I'm not talking about electrical vehicles in England, but the point is there's a lot of people, but you could effectively build enough things that it could support the cars there. It is literally, it's just beyond my imagination.
But here's one thing that the UK and Luxembourg, among most European countries, have, and that is they've got tremendous mass transit systems. They've got trains, they've got buses, they've got subways. We've got none of this.
Yeah.
Right.
And even the subways in New York, people are terrified to go into anymore. But we don't have coast. You can travel coast to coast by train, but it's not efficient. It'll take you two or three days.
And there are literally thousands of miles of tracks in the United States that are no longer in use. You literally could have, you could get people from one side of the country to the other if it were really redone, thought out. It's just amazing to me. It's just amazing to me of how we've been misled. And I don't mind being on the soapbox for people to throw rocks at, but it's just like COVID. I remember when COVID, you weren't supposed to go anywhere. You were supposed to stay. I got in the car and went anywhere I wanted to go. And do you know who I saw? Nobody. I went to the hospitals. Just drove through the parking lots of the hospitals all around here. There's two or three, the major one, and then there's a couple of them. And I drove through the parking lot. I wanted to see all of the ambulances and all the people who were being treated for COVID. There was no one. No one was treated. Now you go, and listen, I know COVID killed people. I understand that. And I know that a great many of them were in the nursing homes. And I know that there were a lot of other things that contributed to people dying, not just COVID. It could have been the flu. But the point of all of that is we are treated like mushrooms. Literally here in the United States, people are treated like mushrooms. You're kept in the dark and you're fed poop. And that's really what's going on. We wouldn't know the truth unless you figured it out yourself, because I guarantee you no one out there is telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's just not being done. It's a different world that we live in, and it's not right. It's not right.
But one thing that is right is our car of the week.
Hey, that was a good segue.
And Donnie, why don't you continue on and tell them about this fantastic car that we drove?
Well, it's not fantastic, but
it was
great.
Okay, you start.
All right. It's the 2023 Hyundai, and you know we sort of have a love of Hyundai. I remember when we got the first Hyundai and something was broken on it, and I thought, oh, my God, what is this? And that was 10, 13 years ago or something, and we started getting these cars, and we have literally seen the improvements over the years. Never go through this without telling the story of the five cars, and Hyundai was the first ones to put out about safety and had five cars in a row, and the drivers got out of the four cars, and when the lead car stopped, all four cars without a driver stopped in line behind the first one. That was the big major thing about safety, cars that could look ahead and stop if you weren't paying attention. And it was major revelation in the car industry. And Hyundai has kept that up. They're still a foreign car, I mean South Korean primarily, but they have made such improvements, and a lot of other car manufacturers have done that because of some of the innovations, I think, that Hyundai did. This one we had this week was the Hyundai Elantra, which is the sedan, and it's an HEV, which is a hybrid electrical vehicle, and we had, there are two models. There's the blue model and the limited, and we had the limited model. The blue model is like 24,550. The limited, which is the second and the upper level one, is $29,150. So it's under $30,000, first of all. Pricing, excellent. Mileage, remember this, and this only has, let me find it, but it only has like a 1.4 liter four-cylinder engine.
Four-cylinder engine.
Yeah, 1.4 liter. 1.6. It's a small engine. 1.6, okay. It's a small engine, four-cylinder. And it gets 50 miles to the gallon.
That's two gallons every 100 miles.
But the big deal was, and this is why if they're going to do anything, I would say you're on the right track. Because of the electrical part of the vehicle, your response time when you pull out in traffic and you're using the electric, which is just like the Teslas or anything else. When you use that electric, all of a sudden you've got all of the force. You get into traffic, it's got plenty of power, it's got plenty of speed, it gets up to speed, and then when you get up to speed and you sort of ease off on the gas, it starts recharging the battery. So it's complementing itself as you drive. It also, of course, charges when you use the brakes. It charges the battery. I mean, the technology is there, and the fact that you get 50 miles to the gallon, and if you remember, it was the old Prius, I think it was. You remember that was the big thing about Prius was, oh, my gosh, this car gets 50 miles to the gallon, and a lot of Priuses sold because of that very thing. And, again, people are cognizant of wanting to do things to help the environment. Everybody is. And we're those people too, but going to all electric vehicles at the stage right now of trying to force this is not doing anything great for the environment. We already talked about it, but just mining what you have to make the batteries is unbelievable.
And what about disposing batteries? That's a whole other thing.
Oh yeah, it's just it's not well thought out. And again, this is off topic slightly, but we've been following, and this is a shameless plug for a company, but we've been following a car company called Aptera, A-P-T-E-R-A, Aptera. And do you know why I'm following them? Because if you remember the Dick Tracy comic strip, Dick Tracy had a vehicle, and it had these little modules that were on the outside of it, and they followed the sun, and that's what powered the vehicle. And the statement I'll remember it forever, the statement in Dick Tracy was, the man that controls the sun controls the world. Well, Aptera has their batteries in the hood, the roof, and the trunk, so that you park it outside, and the sun charges the batteries in the vehicle. And you can get it where if you have battery rechargers, you know, they're recharging, these battery rechargeable batteries in all three, the hood, the roof, and the trunk, you can go 1,000 miles. In fact, you can never have to recharge your car. Now, think about that for a minute. Yeah. And what happens if one of the batteries goes bad? You take off the trunk lid and put a new one on. Or you take the detachable top off and you put a new one. And so instead of having all this stuff underneath the car, they've made it so that the car itself, you can replace the various areas that you need to replace. It's just, and again, is it a proven thing? And is it no? But you know what? Here's somebody who understands. We're not getting stuff to make all these things. We are actually figuring out how to create batteries that last a lifetime and recharge themselves using the sun. So
if the earth can recharge itself
how do you spell
by using
company?
The sun. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just wondering where does companies and manufacturers.
How do you spell it, honey?
A-P-T-E-R-A. Aptera.
Oh, A-P-T. Uh-huh.
A-P. A-P. P as in Paul. A-P-T-E-R-A. Yeah.
All right.
I think it's fascinating. And again,
it? My God, it's terrific.
How do I find these? I'm interested in this kind of thing. I'm an environmentalist.
Yeah.
Look, I'm a guy who loves to hunt and fish. Nobody is a bigger environmentalist than the people who love the outdoors. Nobody are bigger environmentalists. It is our life. And so when you find things like this, we've been looking at talking about electric vehicles. The ones we've been interested in, not cars, but the vertical takeoff and landing. These little planes that they're creating, and now the airline companies are getting involved, and they take off and can carry 4, 5, or 6 passengers from Newark to New Jersey to the airport or whatever. But things like that to me make sense. Not trying to force people to buy cars that. Without the infrastructure to support them. It's just...
Exactly.
It's not thought out, Hezzy. And if we needed anything, it's for people. It's sort of like, again, off topic, but AI. Lori and I have had some big discussions, and we're in agreement, about artificial intelligence. We have Alexa in our house. So, you know, I can say, Alexa, set a timer. Mm-hmm. Alexa, do this. Alexa, remind me of this. Alexa, said something every day. You know, and it's interesting, but artificial intelligence is dangerous stuff because we don't control it. AI is controlled, for example, by Google. At some point in time, they can set that set some sort of part of that system for it to remember or to pull things or to catalog what things you say, words and stuff. And it's scary. It's little, and if you've ever seen any of the AI things where they've created these people, robots that are very much like people and talk and communicate and and they analyze what you say, they respond to what you say, it's scary stuff. It's literally, because they don't have emotions. They haven't figured that part out yet. So all of their calculations are based on just basic logic. Well, logic says we're an inferior race to AI. So, you know, it's just, we're trying too hard to do things that we need to slow down and rethink, at least in my opinion.
Well, one thing that Hyundai tried hard to do was to create a four-door sedan that really is a step above other four-door sedans. This is a heck of a car. Even though it's a four-cylinder engine, it's powerful. It picks up immediately. It's got great handling.
Yeah.
It's got tremendous suspension. The styling out of the body is really gorgeous. We're seeing more and more car companies, instead of doing the softened, rounded, you know, body, now getting a little edgier, and this car is one of them. And it really
doesn't it look like a Genesis? It reminds me of the Genesis very much, which is their top of the line.
It does, but
especially in the light stuff in the front.
But the thing that this particular model has achieved, which they don't tout, is when you are behind the steering wheel of this car, you feel like you're in a kind of almost race car. They don't call it that, but it's got a lot of those racy feelings. The seats lie back a little more than a standard sedan.
That's part of the aerodynamic design.
And the design is more, you know, race car-ish than you would normally see on a traditional sedan styling. But the thing that I thought was wonderful about this, besides the gas consumption, is it's got Hyundai, we always say this, we've said this 1,000 times, you get more bang for your buck with Hyundai. So not only do they have, you know, every kind of safety feature, every kind of comfort feature, but you really feel that you're in a responsive and solid vehicle. It's I can't say enough about this car. I was very taken with it. And it's roomy inside. Maybe part of it, the reason that the seats feel more lie back than normal, is because you have more headroom. And when you have more headroom in the cabin of a car, you feel that it's roomier. And that's the case here. Also, there's a really good size trunk, and you have a 40-60 split on the second seat, so you could put that down for even more, you know, storage.
Mm-hmm.
So. I fall short of saying it's a sporty car. There are some cars. Let me finish, honey. There's some cars where we say that they're, you know, the father was a sports car and the mother was a sedan, and that's not true here. It's not. But you do have that kind of wonderful feeling about it. The only thing I have to say though about it that I was not thrilled with is that it is a little noisy in the cabin. It's not road noise. It's not anything except the electric and the engine kicking in together. You'll hear a little bit more of it. It sounds like it's, in that instance, it does sound more like a sports car engine, but it's not. And that's a very small, small criticism compared to all of the benefits of this tremendous vehicle.
It has three drive modes. You were talking about sporty. It has three drive modes, normal, sport, and smart, which I thought was really interesting because it's just set in normal. Well, why wouldn't you put it in smart mode, which is what I did, and leave it in smart mode? Because to me, smart mode means it's really tuned to when it should be using the battery and when it should be using the gas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But it just seemed like to me, and then you have a sport mode, which really, I think, relies more on the batteries for the response types of things. Along with what Lori said, I thought the handling of the vehicle, of course it's got this batteries now, so and they would be in the bottom of the vehicle, in the undercarriage type of thing. And so it really hugged the corners. It's very stable. That's one of that mm-hmm. solid feel that you get out of it. The thing I liked about it, and I go back to this, it's under $30,000.
That's incredible.
It's affordable. And it has heated and air-conditioned seats, Bose stereo system.
Beautiful Bose surround sound system.
XM radio.
Great screen.
A 10.25-inch screen to use. Great navigation.
Easy to program.
Yeah, it's just phone hookup, phone chargers, all of these little conveniences that we've sort of come to expect. And it's in a vehicle that's under 30 grand. I just, Hyundai has done, I think, an excellent job of analyzing and responding to the American market.
And here's another thing that we never talk about and should be talking about, and that is Hyundai as a brand's repair history. You never see Hyundais in the repair shop. They really are made to last. What's it called, Johnny, when something's built to expire?
Built-in obsolescence.
Yeah, you don't get any kind of... Yeah. These cars stay on the road forever. And, as with any vehicle, as long as you maintain it and get it in for oil changes and don't, schlep around with it and keep it garaged if you at all can, then, it's fantastic. But this is a car that if you're a couple like us and you need a second car that's going to really do the trick and take you through all kinds of circumstances, tremendous cross-country car, long-haul car, tremendous on the highway, then this is a tremendous option. For under 30 grand, it's crazy good. Right, Johnny?
Well, and I'll go back to what we were talking about earlier. You're talking about a second car. If we could figure out how, if the people who are doing the solar-powered cars can get their act together, you talk about a second car. You have one that's a gasoline-powered car like the one we have, and then you have a solar-powered car to run around town and do all that stuff, you would literally have the best of both worlds at the least expense.
It's a good concept,
yeah.
Doing it that way. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, it really is. It's lovely, and we were thrilled to have it.
A nice car.
There's only been, I can't even remember which one, there's only been one Hyundai model that fell short with us that we were, not excited about. But this one we're very excited about. The lines, like I said, are a little, sporty, but they're still classic. This is not a car that you're going to think is going to, age over time. It's going to stay vibrant. The wheels are, 17-inch? What's the composition on the wheels, honey? 17-inch?
I don't know. You started this.
I did. The grill, the grill and the rear grill are bumper are, a dark metal, but beautifully molded at one with the car. I mean, everything about it made me very happy to have this car to drive. The biggest single thing is, okay, it's part electric, part gas, but if you run out of electric, it's okay. You're not going to get stranded in the middle of some place that you can't get yourself out of without having to get a hotel room overnight.
Talking about and Hezzy brought it up, that it kind of reminds you of the Genesis, but you think about, because look at the cars today, and just vehicles in general, how many of them begin to resemble one another. They have sort of the sweeping concept in the sedans, the slick concepts. And what came into my mind when you were talking about that was, you look at the BMW SUVs, then you look at the Mercedes SUVs, and then you look at the Nissan SUVs. You start to see patterns where these things all start to look similar except for the grills in the front.
Yeah.
So that you can tell which one is which.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of similarity in that's, there's a reason for all that. And the reason for it is they're looking for the aerodynamic body shape, and then what can you do inside of that body shape that makes it more comfortable and safer. And I think everybody's concentrating on those things, which is certainly making for a better vehicle. And then if we just control a little bit of how we're powering these things and take a little step back and really analyze some stuff, I think we could do a really good job of both helping the environment and making a vehicle that makes a lot more sense. So.
Now, Johnny, what do we have coming for next week?
Well, we have an EV. We have an electric vehicle. I think it's also from
Really?
Honda. And I think it's, yeah, I think it's the...
I think it's a Kia, honey.
Oh, okay. It's an EV. That's all I remember. And it's more like an SUV type thing, I think. But anyway, yeah.
So it will be very interesting to test it and to report next week about it. And in the meantime, everybody, please have a safe and happy week. Stay healthy, and we'll talk to you next week.
That sounds very exciting. What a wonderful show today. I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ezzy.
Thank you, Ezzy. Glad you're feeling better.
Best, guys.
Talk to you next week.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye now.
Take care. Oh, does it get better than Lori and John? John and Lori? No, I don't think so. They're just really a delight. Really fantastic. Beautiful-looking car, too. My goodness. And my God, the price was phenomenal. Very, very exciting. Okay, well, that's where we're gonna probably end up going eventually on all this stuff. Let me quickly look and see if there's anything else I wanted to do. Actually, I did expect to do a little bit longer on the radio today, but I didn't realize I have an appointment. So this will be the end of our day, and we'll speak to you tomorrow and try to catch up with that. So you'll hear the latest from us as we move forward, but I probably won't get back to the computer until later in the afternoon. So all the best, guys, and we'll speak to you tomorrow. Thank you for being with us today. Goodbye.